Welcome, boys and girls. I'm Jim Peters. It's 11:03 on the East Coast of the United States tonight. I'm sorry. I got to admit, I don't know what comes up. I'm sort of a little bit of a crier. I got to admit, it's terrible. I got an extra monitor here in my setup that I generally don't put anything on, although I do turn it on in case I want to slide something over there. I tried when we first doing these shows, you might have noticed I was looking off to my left because I tried putting my show notes up there, but I didn't like the idea that I was looking off to the side. So now I'm running them on the same monitor as the video feed. But at any rate, picture comes up on my extended family, and I kind of lost it. I don't know why. I've seen the picture a million times. I don't know what's going on with me today. It's 10:03 here in Minneapolis. I'm Jim Peters. This is Jim Peters Tonight. We're running a minute late tonight because a little technical problem, as usual. You know, I'm still getting complaints, and I understand people are texting me on the text feed. You know, your face looks red. Yeah, I know. This is our 18th show. I've been fucking with the lights on this thing since the day we started, and even the test shows and the rehearsals, and I can't seem to get it right, and I'm still trying. I am. So yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I look red. I know. I'm looking at myself right now. It's bullshit. Okay, so we don't have a guest tonight. I want to thank Chris Williamson for joining us last night. He's the host of the Vanished podcast. We put his books up this afternoon on the blog at jimandite.com if you want to buy them. I bought, which one? I bought the D.B. Cooper one. I bought the other one's kind of too long for me. I'm never going to read it. I know that. But still, well worth the trouble. It was a fascinating interview. I learned some things I did not know before. We talked about the disappearances of both Amelia Earhart and D.B. Cooper. I've gotten quite a lot of positive feedback about it. I guess people really liked it. I'm glad to hear that. I really am. No guest tonight, but here's the deal. You know, this show setup, you see this thing right down here? See that? That address? You point your device, the web browser on your device, a Google Chrome browser has to be on that device, to that page. There's a big blue button at the top of the screen, and you push that button, and you can join me here in the studio, and you can be my guest, okay? I know we haven't had a lot of callers. This is our 18th show. We've had this set up since the beginning. Talkers Magazine says we're the only talk show in America that's doing this. I think that's true. I mean, you can go on Twitch or Rumble any night, you see people calling in via telephone. You see all sorts of people calling in on the show chat. You see that. But on the actual video feed, no, nobody's doing that. So anyway, why don't you call up and join me tonight, please? I got stuff to talk about, but still, it's way easier if there's somebody joining me. And so, yeah, do that. Tomorrow night, Dr. Patrick Moore is joining us. Now, there's a caveat here. Him and I have kind of crossed connections today. I'm assuming we're still on. We've had this set up for about a week, 10 days. So I'm assuming we're still on, but there's a possibility that maybe we aren't. But anyway, it's been confirmed, so I'm still advertising this anyway. Dr. Patrick Moore is one of the co-founders of Greenpeace, and yeah, he was one of those guys in the 1980s in the stupid fucking boats going in front of the ocean liners because he wanted to keep them from killing whales. He was one of those guys, and fast forward 30, 35 years, and he quits Greenpeace because of two things. One, he said it became a money-grubbing organization. He said the organizations, like many giant institutions, ended up existing solely to make money for no other reason. And B, he's a trained climatologist, a professional climatologist, and he came to the conclusion that climate change is bullshit. And that's why I'm talking to him. He's written a book. It's called Invisible Catastrophes, and oh Jesus, we'll put a link up to it on the Amazon. And the thing is, here's how goofy I am. I have a copy, and I was even looking at it last week in my office, and now I can't find it. Jesus, you know. Anyway, I interviewed him on a radio show I did about a year ago, and in the 3 years I did that radio show, it's by far, I got more commentary on that show than any other one I did. Because this guy, I mean, we got to read his book too. He's no slouch. He is a fucking real scientist, and he's absolutely convinced there's nothing to this. Or, as I said last night, and I will continue to say, and I want to run this by him too, because I don't know if the first time I ever did. It's not that climate change isn't real. Well, there's another thing here too, and that is technically what's going on isn't climate change. It's what's called a weather cycle. But weather cycles can last 30,000 years. There's long, really long-term weather cycles. But this is, I'm just using the technical correct term. This is what the bullshit liberal retards say is climate change. And so, yes, that it's not actually climate change, but yes, what they're calling climate change is real. It is real. The world is warming up. That's not the problem or the question. The real question is, what are the ramifications of that? And Dr. Moore agrees with me. He will tell you, or I agree with him. He's the big guy here. Not much. Not a lot's going to happen. If anything, it might be a net positive for the planet, because the real problem with the planet is when it gets cold. That's the real problem. If it gets warmer, yeah, it does get so warm that you might not be able to live some places, or the crops won't grow anymore. But there's way more places on Earth where it's too cold to grow crops and that it's too warm. So, as the example I used last night, you won't be able to live in Phoenix because it'll be unbearable. But in northern Manitoba, all of a sudden, they're going to be sticking there and grow wheat and corn, and they can't right now. So, that we're going to talk to him. But I want you to hear this from the horse's mouth. You know, I'm just a guy on the fucking Rumble YouTube telling you what I think, you know. But I'd like to think, I mean, I'm way more versed in science than the average person. I'm not a scientist. I don't pretend to be one. But I do know a little bit about this stuff because I've been fascinated with this as a little kid. And also because I've been dealing with the UFO question for 30 years. And that involves some science regarding, or physics regarding how these things run. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on too. Finally, I want to thank, you might have noticed, I got a haircut this last weekend. I didn't get a chance to mention it yesterday. I want to thank my hairstylist, the famous, infamous Brittany Shears is her professional name here in Minneapolis for, once again, doing a fabulous job on my head. So now I can look at you and I have a giant, giant head in a giant, giant screen, unless you're watching on your cell phone, in which case it's a giant, giant head on a tiny little screen. You know, I am getting my wife, and says to me, why is your head so big on the broadcast? But there's a reason, because, well, why not? Because a lot of people are watching on their mobiles, you know, and on your mobile, unless you tip it, it's a tiny little screen. So you might as well make the heads as big as possible. It's the same thing when I do the interviews, like last night with Chris. It's like, you know, okay, we use a split screen. You might as well make both the splits as big as you can, you know. Hell, I'm Joy Behar, you know. I'm 82 years old, and I got a big, dumb head. Oh, man. So, yeah, call me up and join me, okay? You can be the guest on the show, okay? You got that? That's the way this works. You go to gymatnight.com. That's our website. By the way, you can watch back episodes there. We got a blog going that we have to update pretty much every day, not a weekday, not quite, but almost. Usually, at any time we have a guest on, we usually post some promo, something promo in there or something. And on the front page, there's a schedule of guests. And yeah, so it's not a big website, but the thing is, it gets the job done. Anyway, yeah, you go to gymatnight.com/call. You push the button there at the big button at the top of the screen, and you get in. You are sent to a preview page where you get to check your camera, microphone, making sure everything working. And I got to point this out too. This is really important. We've had a couple people call in who have done this. If you don't want your picture on the screen, I think that keeps a lot of people from calling. They don't actually want to be on the screen. There's a no video option where you can pull down, you can pick no video, and then your camera will mute your camera. I know that's not the real term, but it will do that. So it'll be audio only. And you want to call me like that? That's fine. The only suggestion is that if you choose the no video option, it gives you the option of uploading the avatar. You can upload a picture, a still picture to represent you. And since this is a video medium, I'd appreciate it if you do that, but you don't have to. And yeah, you can call in audio only. It's just not that you don't dial in on your cell phone. Now, the other part of the thing here on the bottom, right here, you can text me and also leave a voicemail for me at that number, 408-458-5088. You got that? That will reiterate in your brain as you sleep, 408-458-5088. I don't check the texts during the show, but I read them right afterwards. And all the text, the voicemails. I actually don't know if I've gotten a single voicemail yet. I've gotten quite a few text messages. I have. And people, one guy who keeps giving me crap up with the face, he says, "So do you ever wash your hair?" Yes, I wash my hair. Yes, I do. Oh, man. Okay. So, all right. So this is what I want to talk about today. I went to the grocery store this afternoon. Yeah. I do the shopping for my family. I enjoy shopping. I like to see what people are selling. It's the whole commerce thing, the whole thing about it. And you know what's got me pissed off? The prices keep going up. What the fuck? You're going to tell me about Bidenomics? Bidenomics can go fuck itself. Bidenomics is bullshit. So these people started this problem. They devalued your money by printing a shitload of it, you know. And the president is just fucking gaslighting everybody. He says, "Well, you know what? I've reduced the deficit." No, you haven't. No, you did not reduce the deficit. That's a lie. That's an untruth. That's not a fact. You did not reduce the deficit. I think it was the next month that we actually, October 1st is the end of the fiscal year for the United States of America, the United States government, and we're going to be, our debt is through the ceiling, you know. This was a one complaint about Trump that was legitimate, and that is Trump ran the economy to a T, but we still did, he didn't do anything to dampen the amount of debt or deficit we had. I always assumed he was going to get around to that in a second term. So, I mean, and if he wins again, I don't know if that's the second term or not. I have no idea. But I was just kind of figured that was the plan, you know, because he was really conscientious about this stuff. I mean, the country, you know, that's the problem. I mean, this is the part I don't understand. I mean, I understand the Democrats hate his guts. The liberals hate his guts. First of all, you know, I asked Jazz Shaw when I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago, I said, "Why do they hate him so much?" And Jazz said, and it was a pretty good answer. He said, "Well, you have to understand, first of all, they kept their first female president from being elected. And that's part of it. I understand that. But the hatred for this guy runs so deep, and I don't understand now. I understand in 2016 why you hated him. I don't understand now because, frankly, he ran the government great. That's the half of the, you know, that's the part that I just don't. I mentioned this last night. What's the guy? George Stephanopoulos, Snuggleupoulos, whatever his name is. You know, the little Greek guy. Okay? So he's on his show, Sunday morning show, and he's saying, "I don't understand why people are still supporting Trump. I mean, he's been indicted like 97 times. And you don't understand, you goofball. It's because, first it starts with the fact he did a really good job running the country. He did a very good job. I mean, there's only him, Clinton, and Reagan are the only three people in the last 40 years who've done a good job running the country. Really an outstanding job. And that's where it starts. Now, part of it is because he pays attention to little people and nobody else does. I mean, it does really seem in the United States that we are getting to the point here where the elites not only run everything, but they basically run everything entirely for themselves. And there's about half of the country feels completely forgotten. Actually, way more than that. But Trump appeals to half of the country for those very reasons. So now, why did I bring that up? I brought that up because the stupid president we have now is gaslighting everybody. So in less than three years, he has run up way more deficit and debt and added to the national debt way more than any other president. I mean, way more than even his former president partner, Barack Obama. In 8 years, Joe Biden has ran up way more in 3 years than Obama ran up in 8 years. I mean, way more. I mean, a lot more. And where did this guy, I don't know, this guy's been lying his entire life. I mean, he's been kicked, you know, he was kicked out of, not kicked out of, but he was penalized in law school for plagiarizing on his final paper. I mean, he got kicked out of the campaign in 2008 for plagiarizing a speech by a British politician. What, where, this guy is balls and nothing else. He has no skills. The only single thing he has not fucked up in the last 3 years is the Ukraine war situation. And I'm saying you just give him time. I think it's inevitable he'll fuck up that too. Yeah. It's really, really, what's going on is disgusting. So he goes on tour and he's trying to tell all of America that, you know, you don't understand this. The economy is doing really well. And I go to the grocery store and all I see is prices going up and up and up. And I mean really, really up. There's shit that's, and for all practical purposes, everything in the grocery store I buy has gone up by at least 50% in the last 10 months. Even say the last year, I'll even be generous. In the last year, everything's gone up by at least 50%. I've had stuff, there's items I buy in the $3 to $5 range that have doubled. And not just a few. I mean, I went to the grocery store this afternoon. I go to several grocery stores. It's really interesting. We have here in Minneapolis, I'm not the only person who thinks this. People traveling all the time. I mentioned this too. We have probably the best grocery stores in America. We do. First of all, the luxury grocery store concept started here. That was Byerly's in the 1960s. It's spread everywhere now. Target started here in the 1960s. And matter of fact, the very first Target store is only a couple miles from our office here on Central and Broadway. That's the Target I go to. It is what's called a super Target. I think they only use those names in the upper Midwest. I think super Targets are Targets that not only have grocery stores, the big defining factor is they have a butcher and a baker there. No candlestick makers, just the butcher and the baker. So I shop quite a few places. So I went to the discount grocery store today. The discount grocery store, I bought like what? 7-8 items, $75. Like, what? $75? It's like for what, burritos? It's like, Jesus Christ. I'm getting so tired of this, I can't tell you. It's just crazy. And yeah, okay, I can afford the $75, but that's beside the point. It really is. I mean, you know, the reason the liberals and Marxists and the socialists can't wrap their mind around this. The fact is, you know what keeps prices down? Competition. That's what you got. You know? And if you stifle competition, well, you basically put a brake on the entirety of not mass production, but capitalism, basically. All right, we got a caller here. I think this is David. I can see David. Hi, David.
Jim, how are you?
I'm good. I don't even listen to my little rant here going to the grocery store, but my God, I'm just really pissed off. It's like shit.
Oh, the prices escalated unbelievable.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Sad, so I don't know if you heard me. I went to the discount grocery store in my neighborhood, the one that's supposed to be cheap, bought 7-8 items, $75. It's like, Christ.
Well, out here, you go to the store on Saturdays, and like a lemon, right? A lemon is $1 for one lemon.
Yeah. When did that happen?
You know? It's been $1 now for, oh gosh, 8 months or so.
Yeah, that's why I'm looking at too. Around the first of the year, or a little earlier, everything started to really change.
Right. And organic lemon is $1.50 for one.
And we should bring, let's bring up to the folks watching too that you're in San Francisco.
Yes. So, yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's you know, and gas now is up to about $5 now.
Yeah. Well, it's always been more expensive in California, and I don't really know why.
I'll tell you, it's the extra taxes they put on it.
Oh, shit. Yes.
I think I remember that I heard for every gallon is about $1.20. Added on for this tax. So that's why you can see we pay about $1.20 or so more than the rest of the folks in the country.
Yeah, that would be about right, because we're right now here in Minneapolis, it's about $3.80.
Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah. So, yeah, the tax is just, you know, it's unbelievable.
So let me ask you, David, because here's the thing. When are people, how far do taxes have to go up before people revolt? This country was started because of tax revolt, you know?
Well, that's a good question, but here in California, I have no idea. I don't. In fact, I just bought something at a store the other day, and this wasn't in San Francisco. It was north a little, about 20 miles north. The sales tax was 9.5%.
Yeah, and you're not in the city.
No, not in San Francisco. No, this was like in Marin County, like
yeah. So I mean, I keep wondering about this. The government seems to want more and more money constantly. And, you know, I don't know if Republicans are much better than Democrats. I don't.
Well, they might be slightly better, perhaps.
Yeah, that's the thing. They might be a little better, right? Yeah. But
it's sad. I honestly, I don't know when the people are going to wake up. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Just unbelievable. I mean, with the smash and grab thefts and all that sort of thing, it's just, I don't know. It's just a tough one to answer.
Well, John Nolte, one of my favorite columnists, he wrote a column for Breitbart today. He's like the editor at large there, or the guy, you know, kind of. And he's talking about the fact that Beverly Hills now has, because of smash and grab, that the stores are closing up in Beverly Hills, you know. And of course, they're closing up in. May I ask what neighborhood in San Francisco do you live in?
I live in Diamond Heights. I live up in the hills.
Uh huh.
I can look down to the downtown area where the freaks are.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of out of it.
But San Francisco has kind of always been known for more high-end retail stores anyway, right?
Yes, that's more like a Union Square area.
Yeah. Yeah, but my impression is that a lot of those have closed up. Am I right about that?
That's correct. Well, I think a couple weeks ago, Nordstrom's finally, that was it for them. They're gone, like down the Nordstrom's downtown. Yeah,
right.
And the whole thing. Yeah, so pardon me, they're closing up because of the problem is, who wants to go down there to buy something, then you leave the store with the bag, and somebody might want to steal it from you. What is that about, right?
And it's kind of, when you stop and think about it, David, it's kind of a double whammy, because this isn't a great environment right now for retail, like on-site retail anyway, because more and more people are just ordering from Amazon.
Online, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
See, I would rather go down to Palo Alto. They have a shopping center down there called Stanford Shopping Center.
Yeah.
Which has all the Highline stores, all that sort of thing. Parking's no problem.
Right.
And you don't feel like you're going to get mugged or that kind of thing. So I'd rather go there.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a relative who lives in that neighborhood.
Yeah, it's nice down there.
I was going to mention, oh, it's not fucking nice. It's perfect. It's
you can say that.
So I won't say the name of the actual city, but my relative lives in Silicon Valley. And it's like, there's no more perfect place on earth. And you know, it's not even, those people, they're not ostentatious. It's just, but it costs a shitload of money to live there. And it's like, you know, the lawns are all nice. All the houses are pretty. You know, I mean, it's really, really a nice place to live. And the weather is wonderful.
Well, down in the peninsula, all the places down there are nice. You know, Hillsboro, Saratoga, Los Gatos, Los Altos, all those places, all Highline nice places.
They all kind of blend together. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, right. Correct. Yeah. It's just sad that everybody thinks of San Francisco. Well, San Francisco is not as it used to be 40 years ago. So it's different to me.
That's too bad.
It is sad. It's sad, but you know, what do you expect? I mean, what can you do? It kind of started a little bit with Willie Brown, right?
Yeah.
And then it kind of went from there. I mean, originally it was Dianne Feinstein, right?
Yeah, but who are we kidding? The entire California Assembly is Looney Tunes crazy.
All of them.
It's unbelievable. You know, you get a bunch of liberals in a room and they'll just fucking ruin everything.
I mean, where in the hell the moderates go? Where do they go?
I don't know. I don't. I know there. This has been my bitch for a long time. It's like the Democratic Party has been taken over by the 20% of the crazy people on the extreme left, and somehow the rest of them let them do it.
Now, here's a question. I wonder, because I know in the colleges now, because I did send an email. This is a few, well, 6 months ago to Jennifer Cabani. I had a question for her. She answered me, which was nice, actually.
Yeah.
I think maybe since the colleges have been Looney Tunes for what, maybe 30 years?
Yeah, I'd say that, right.
So I think a lot of these people have been brainwashed in that environment, and now they're the supervisors or Congress people or whatever. That's what I maybe think could be possible.
Well, do you know who William Ayers is? You know, he was
William Ayers.
He was
bad. Some underground, right?
Right. He was from the Weather Underground. So he said, you know, I don't know how the hell this happens. He became, after the 60s bullshit happened in the 70s, he became a college professor, and he said, "We will take over the United States by indoctrinating your children." That's what he said, like 50 years ago. Well, and goddamn it, they actually did it.
That's what's happening, and it's pretty sad actually, because
it is
all you hear about the schools is equity, transgender, and all that sort of thing. On the other side, you always hear, as Larry Elder talks about it a lot, mathematics scores are down, reading scores are down, all that bad, right? So,
yeah.
You never hear them talk about what we need to do better in math or reading or whatever. It's all about transgender and critical race theory and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It's backwards, like.
This I have this on my show notes, and I was going to talk about this, about the fact that the DEI stuff on the military. Now, and then the military wonders why recruitment is down. And it's down for the first time, you know, for the first time in like 40 years. They're not meeting their quotas at all. It's like,
yeah, I wonder why.
Yeah, duh. I know.
Yeah, right.
Like, no one who's attracted to the military wants to deal with any of that shit. Top of that, I'm watching Senator Tuberville on Fox. And he's talking about the facts. He said, first of all, this is an interesting fact. We currently have 44 four-star generals in the U.S. military. And, like, what are those people? What are they doing? It's like, you know, well, you know, do you need that many four-star generals? No. No, you don't. You know, to tell people what to do? No. And so there's that. And then on top of that, you know, he was talking about the fact that it's way more important in the military right now to meet a diversity quota than for anybody to be actually excellent at anything. And, well, that Rome is burning now.
Rome is burning. Yeah, you're right. I would say something, but this is a family show.
No, you can say you can say it. I swear on here all the time. It's one of the. I got a note from a viewer just last night saying one of the best things about this show is that you swear.
Well, you know, in retrospect, how I found you on the other show was I was flipping around and looking at different podcasts. So here was a podcast. It was a certain name, and I clicked on it, and you and one of the other guys were talking, and you were, you know, once in a while shit and fuck and all that sort of thing. So I kind of go, I kind of like this because this is realistic.
Right. This is how people talk.
So it reminds me when your other show, whatever, it's like a bunch of guys, a few guys are in a coffee shop sitting down just bullshitting.
Right. That was exactly the idea.
And absolutely, it worked. It was just perfect because all these other shows, they're all basically talking heads.
Yeah. Now, I have to tell you, the publisher of that organization came up with a really good concept that it took me a while to buy into it. But he was right about this. And he said, I don't mind you saying fuck and shit and all that sort of stuff, but you can't use the fuck word to describe sex. He said, you want to use it as a general... exclamation point, that's fine. But he said, I don't want you to use the fuck word to actually describe sex. And at first I thought, well, that's bullshit. Then I started to think about that. Well, it's kind of, I understand. I mean, I think he's got a point.
It's okay. You could say the people were screwing. That's saying we get the message.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. But you can say screwing, but he didn't want me to talk about, you know, he didn't want me to use it to actually describe the sex act. And so, okay.
That's okay. Fine.
You know,
you could improvise.
That's right. It's not that big a deal. You know,
they were in the back seat of the car, and what do you think was happening? Right?
They were stopping.
Yeah, right. In fact, there's a old time rapper that's from Oakland, California, which is not far from where I am now. His name is Too Short, and a lot of his music was something about doing something in the back seat. Yeah, right. It's an old concept, right?
So Johnny Carson lost his virginity in the back seat of a Chrysler, you know?
Really? And okay.
About 40 years after that, somebody, as a birthday present, they didn't just buy him the same Chrysler. They tracked down the exact same car.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's they crazy. Actually gave him the actual car he had sex with when he was a kid, like 50 years ago.
Yeah, I used to watch Johnny all the time. He was fabulous. He was fabulous. We talked about him, you know, a while ago. Yeah, but yeah, he's great.
I know.
All the guests and
everything's
so forth.
Gone to hell now.
I wanted to ask you, 2 weeks ago or something, you were talking about some UFOs information.
Yeah.
And this one particular segment, you said something like you saw some kind of triangle object in the sky.
Yeah, I did.
But you didn't go further to explain that. So could you expound that? Because I'm curious about what the hell did you see, actually.
Sure. Okay. So now this is going to take a second, but I will do this. Here's the setup. I'm driving south out of the Twin Cities area. And if you know anything about the Twin Cities metro, there's a town called Hastings on the Mississippi River on the southeast corner of the metro. And the metro area literally ends at the end of Hastings. I mean, you're driving through Hastings, and in like not even a block, all of a sudden, as soon as you leave that city, it's farmland. You're out of the city completely.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. And that I'm driving south on that road. So I'm about maybe 7, 8, 10 minutes out of Hastings, about 7, 8 minutes, I figure. And yeah, so I'm watching. I'm just amusing myself because from that road you can see the traffic backup for Minneapolis St. Paul International Airport, which is basically a little west of there. And so I'm watching, and you can see, it's a moonless night. It's very dark, and it was very easy to see the airplanes. And they're going around a circle, you know, waiting to land, all that sort of stuff. And I thought, isn't that nice? And I'm looking, and all of a sudden I thought, well, Jesus, that's not an airplane. And it started to come into view. And this giant thing, I figure it was about, I mean, you know, it's hard to guess. People say they can do this. You know, pilots can do it, but most people can't actually do it.
You're right, sure.
It's about 500 feet off the ground. It's about 300 or 400 feet across. It's really low. And it's basically covering the entire sky as it goes over me. And it's going really slow. I would guess maybe 30 miles an hour, really slow. God.
Like a balloon, like.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you know, there's a theory. Some people think these things are giant blimps. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard that, or dirigibles, you know.
No.
Yeah, that's what, there's a lot of some people who think that. But but here's the part where it gets weird and where I don't think it could be a blimp. So I actually pulled the car over. I pulled the car over and got out, and it went right over my head. Now, I have to be honest with you here. It was such a dark night that I couldn't see the front end of it. So it was either trapezoidal or it was triangular. I couldn't actually see if it had a point. Yeah. Yes. There's one light in the middle of it. That's it. Most people say, who see these things, they say there's three lights on the corners. No, I saw one light in the middle, and that's all. And then this thing flew over, and I basically just sat there and watched it with my mouth open and got back in the car. I thought, well, holy shit, that was interesting. Yeah. And then I decided to get – I said, no, I'm not done. I got back out of the car, but then it was gone. So it must have gone somewhere very quickly, because I mean I was only in the car like 10 or 15 seconds. So it disappeared.
What color was the light?
Kind of like yellow white.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
So
you don't think it could have been a blimp or something like?
Well, I have to tell you, David, I'm glad you asked about this. My gut, and this is just my gut, I have no bearing on this at all, nothing to back this up. My gut said, I'm looking at that, you know, that's one of ours. That was what my gut told me. So, you know, there's a lot of people who think that we're building these things. They're based on extraterrestrial technology, but they're actually ours. And I don't know why I thought that, but that's what I thought too. I thought that's not from outer space. That's one of ours.
Is there any military bases around there?
No, not really. I mean, there's a huge one in North Dakota, but shit, that's like, you know, 800 miles away.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah.
You know, and there's Fort Snelling, which is right in the Twin Cities Metro, but it's not a very big base. It isn't. So I don't know.
But also you mentioned that other people, different parts of the world, I thought, saw these too.
Oh, yeah. If you wanted to do some reading about this in the 1980s in Europe, Belgium especially, but they were all over the place, and they were the same descriptions, low and slow, huge, giant black triangles. This has been well documented. I mean, to the point where the Belgian government has addressed it. I mean, they've talked about it, and they scrambled umpteen times. Their military scrambled jets to follow these things and shit. And they said they're real, and we have no idea what they are. That's what the Belgians said. But they've been seen all over the world. I have to tell you that when I got to the next town where I was going outside of the metro, which is Red Wing, Minnesota, which Red Wing is not in the metro. Red Wing is a very, very old town, one of the oldest towns in the region in the upper Midwest. But it's actually not part of the metro. It's about 30 miles out of the metro. And when I got there, I pulled over a policeman. And I asked him, I said, anybody report any UFOs? And of course, he laughed at me.
Yeah, right. How much are you drinking, right?
Yeah, right. That's right. So, that, okay, fine. I got that.
Had a couple of drinks. Yeah,
right. Yeah, really, really. So that's one of the other UFO I saw. I was 15 years old, and I was in Europe, believe it or not. I was in Yugoslavia. And it only lasted for about 2 seconds, but I saw the strangest fucking thing go through the sky. It's unbelievable. I still don't know what to make of that. And I was with my uncle, and I asked him, he said, did you see that? And he didn't. He didn't see it. I saw it alone.
Interesting.
We were downtown Skopje, which is the largest city in North Macedonia. Uh-huh. And it was just odd. Whatever it was.
Thank you for that. I had another question. How's your mom doing?
Oh, well, I told you, she had her 99th birthday.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. And so we're now arguing about our 100th birthday because we want to have a giant party and she doesn't. And she says, it's my birthday, you should do what I want. And there's a part of me that thinks I should listen to her, but I usually listen to her, but I don't know. It's like,
so you're gonna get her on your show because you talked about that.
Yeah, I'm trying to, but this gets to family shit. I need my sister's help to do it because my mother can't do it, and my sister, like, she's really busy and she doesn't really want to, and I don't know what's gonna happen here.
I don't know. Did your mom have internet over here where she lives?
No. Well, she has internet in her building, but you can't actually get it in her apartment. Also, she's very, very technically not astute. So, I mean, she would need some help to do this.
Well, I was gonna say, like, if your sister or whatever, I mean, she could bring her cell phone and then talk through the cell phone, right?
Oh yeah, there's all sorts of ways we could do this. But like I said, I kind of need her help, and right now she's balking, so I don't know.
Okay. That'd be fabulous to see your mom.
What I'm actually thinking about doing is now that you mention it, I got a plan for this. Sometime before Thanksgiving, we're going to have them up here in the city for the weekend. And I could literally, it's kind of weird. I don't want to do a live side-by-side interview with somebody here in the little studio we have. But I could literally put her in the other room, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, that's something to think about because I always enjoyed your mom because she has real stories of struggle and so forth.
And the thing is, you know, most people haven't seen her, you know, even the people that listen on the previous shows, you know, I really want to get her on. I'm glad you brought this up because we're planning on having her here before Thanksgiving. So,
so you got a little bit of time to.
Yeah, I got a little time to plan this. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm gonna
go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I liked it when you talked the other day. I think it was yesterday. I think about the headlines of news, the left wing perspective and the right wing.
Oh yeah,
That was quite interesting. It's sad actually, because you have these people that somehow I don't know how they're getting the source of the news, and then they're filtering it through their brain. Yeah. Right. So if they're lefty, they filter it to the left side.
David, that's really good, because that's master of the obvious shit you just brought up there too. They are filtering it through their brain. Well, that's right. Good.
See, I question, how do you know that their source is accurate? That's one question. And then they take this whatever information and they put it through their brain and they put it to the left or the right.
Well, you live in San Francisco. Do you have a lot of liberal friends?
Yeah, I have a few, but we don't talk about politics.
Okay, so I have a lot of liberal friends who are telling me about politics all the time. And when I generally don't bring anything up. I usually don't. But when they ask me, if I'm asked, I will say what I think, And usually the response I get is, well, where did you get your information? Now, the thing is, I've been working for a fucking news organization for 3-4 years. I've been reading, I read hundreds of, I don't anymore, but I did read hundreds of news reports every day. And these people are trying to tell me that my information is bad. Well, bullshit. It's like, no, it's not. I read a lot of bad information. Yeah, I do, but I can filter it out. I know what's bad and what isn't, That's my thing.
Well, it's quite challenging now because you're right. I think the press in this country is gone.
Totally.
It's gone. So with that being said, it's just hard to really know what they're talking about is moderately accurate. It's hard to say. So cause another thing which is kind of interesting is you'll see on different shows, they'll say inflation is up or this is down or whatever. They rarely cite the source where they got the data.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's like, see, it's they should be citing where the source is. So a guy like myself I can go to the source and I can read the article and make my own interpretation. I don't need a reporter to do that. That's going to filter it.
40 years ago, any good reporter had a proofreader and a researcher and an editor working either with or for them. And every single thing that ended up in any newspaper in America worth its salt got double checked. Everything,
Yeah, but that went out with high button shoes.
Well, right, but the thing is, that's the reason it was good information then. I mean, the problem right now is there's not a lot of money in journalism anymore.
Yeah, I mean, is that what they're teaching these kids in school? The journalism school, just make up any kind of bullshit?
Well, you were saying you talked to Jennifer Gabani, and so we should mention Jennifer Gabani is the editor-in-chief of the collegefix.com, which is a nonprofit it's a student-oriented organization for student journalists. So all those people who work for that publication are student journalists.
Right.
I don't think they get paid, but they do it as a learning experience.
It's like on-the-job training or whatever.
Right, exactly. And she will tell you, she says, these people, they're wonderful and highly educated. And you read that publication. It's at thecollegefix.com. It's wonderful. I mean, it's really high quality writing. These people, they do check their sources, all sorts of shit. But I don't know what happens. They go out into the real world or something. I don't know if it's because they have a rent they have to pay or whatever. But, at some point, the whole thing seems to break down.
Well, it must be when they go to different organizations, it must be the management telling them what to do.
Yeah, or maybe even not telling them what to do, they're on their own and, you will get me a story by 5:00. Well, what does it have to be about? I don't really give a shit. Give me a story. And then you're writing about transsexuals,
Well, that's right. I think the news is filtered so much. It's unbelievable. As like an example, there was this article came out today with Tucker Carlson came out with a new video today.
Uh-huh.
And he was talking to a fella who says he had sex with Barack Obama. It's on his latest podcast. So I looked around at different websites. They don't even talk about it.
Yeah. And, this is also, I don't know if this made the news either. I can't remember where I read this about the fact that one of Barack's former girlfriends said that he told her that he constantly dreamed about having sex with men.
Yeah, that's right. That came out about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. So
roughly.
You know, my personal thing about that, David, is I don't really give a shit. I don't care about his sex life. I don't care about anybody's sex life.
Sure.
And this is really what bothers me about the whole transsexual issue. I really don't care if you're transsexual. I don't. Put on a dress. Knock yourself out. You know.
Fine. Yeah.
But why are we spending so much time talking about this? It's really not an issue, but they're making it one.
What else are they going to talk about? They don't want to talk about how they're going to help young kids learn mathematics. They'd rather talk about the guy in the dress.
That's right. That's exactly – and that's the problem. You know, in my mind, that's actually the problem. Well, first of all, I've said this before. I think liberalism has kind of run its course. They've run out of problems to fix. So now, because they've always been, that's their thing. They've always been good at that. They, you know, the liberal will point at the problem and say, this is an injustice. And a lot of times they're right. And my thing is usually it's the conservatives that end up actually fixing it, but they're really good at pointing out problems. They've run out of problems to point at because we are starting to perfect the society, you know, so now they're making shit up.
Well, yeah, you're right. I agree. I mean, I'm sure they can identify problems, but they don't know how to get results.
Well, that's my point, right? We, you know, conservatives usually end up fixing the problems.
Well, but that's the real world, right? If you have a job, you got to fix it. You got to fix it.
Well, that's right. But they are very, you know, I will give them credit for pointing out problems. You know, it's like well that you know years ago, it's like you know civil rights, you know all you know all sorts of shit like that. You know, it's like okay. You know, yeah, well, we kind of sort of fix that stuff. And then all of a sudden, somebody said, well, transsexual rights. But no, well, first of all, there's only like 1,500 transsexuals in the entire country. You know, that's an exaggeration. But still,
I mean, they make it sound like it's brand new, that all of a sudden there's these guys don't wear a dress.
That's right.
I'll tell you a story. My mom was in the 40s, I think mid-40s.
Uh-huh.
I think it was probably during the war. I think anyway, she worked at a upscale women's shop in Oakland, California, and she worked in the perfume department.
Uh-huh.
And she told me sometimes she says, "Yeah, we have guys there that work their guys, but they dress like a woman." And she told me, she says, "Some of them you would not believe that they're a man." So what I'm saying that like that was in the 40s, right?
Yeah, right.
So it's, you know, this stuff is not new. I mean,
no, it isn't. No, and also, do you care? No, who cares? I don't care. Really?
But I do think, because I used to play a lot of sports when I was younger. I do think it's wrong for a guy to put a dress on and want to go to do swim against women.
Yeah, so do I. That's the problem.
That's absolute bullshit.
Right, that is bullshit.
That's why you have men and women sports.
Right.
Women cannot compete with the men and vice versa. It's ridiculous.
And I don't care if your feelings are hurt.
And who cares? That's life. You know,
if you've committed yourself to being a transsexual woman, that's one of the things you have to live with. You cannot be in sports. You know, that's all there is to it. You know,
that's part of
the trade-off of doing that. And that's actually the problem. And they're trying to push this down people's throats. And anybody with a brain can tell you it's unfair. You know,
it's unbelievable. But I don't hear any of the lefties say, yeah, that's wrong. It shouldn't do it. They don't say it.
No. They groupthink is just completely, you know, that's their deal. They do not cannot think alone. And they no one speaks up, and they just all get on the gravy train.
Were they scared to speak up, or just?
I think so. There's you were in high school. Everybody in America has pretty much been in high school, it's the same kind of a social clique phenomena that happens in high school. Everybody wants to belong to the cool group, and they've managed to make themselves a cool group, and people do or say whatever they have to do to stay in it. You know.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I feel like telling them, you think it's okay for a guy to put a dress on and go play go swimming with the girls? Well, get his ass out there in the football field. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. But you know, okay. So, but you know, using your exact phrasing there, here's the deal. It is okay to put on a dress. You want to put on a dress? Oh, fine.
So what?
Yeah, but you can't get in the swimming pool.
Well, yeah, that's, right.
So we got a line here, you know. Say you put on a dress, okay, fine. Nobody cares, but you can't swim in the meat. You can't, you know. That's the part why I don't understand why it's so. To me, it's so simple, but you know, a lot of people don't think so. So
Yeah, that's ridiculous. In fact, I remember there was a story, God, maybe a year ago or so. This woman, she wanted to be a man, which is fine. You know, nothing wrong with that, right?
Yeah.
So she played hockey, ice hockey, on the men's team. It was really a woman, but she wanted good. So she was playing, and some guy from the other team checked her and knocked her out. they had to cart her off the ice.
I don't know if you've heard about this, but there's a woman who's playing as a man in MMA, and she's like won 3 fights in a row or something like that. I mean, that's, you know, the universal kind of thing is that men are stronger than women.
Yes.
So this is a transsexual man. It's a woman, you know, posing as a man, and yes, she has been in male MMA, and she's kicking ass. And I just think that's kind of okay, fine, good for you. You know, it's like it's kind of the opposite of what's going on with Leah Thomas. You know, it's
yeah.
Like,
I wonder what Dana White says about that.
Yeah, I know. I don't. It's like, what do you? You know, you can't argue with that. It's like holy shit. You know,
hey Jim, that would be a good guest to have on your show, Dana White.
I actually would. You know,
he's fabulous. Actually,
I think I need a few more viewers before I start asking people like that. But yeah. I've got to be honest with you, David. I'm amazed at the people I get on the show already. I mean, I call people up and they've heard of me, we're shit, and it's like they still come back to come on, and it's kind of cool.
Well, that's nice. I mean, that's nice that they're helping out and so forth.
Before you go on, I want to just ask everybody watching right now, so you can join David and I, a little coffee clutch here. You can join us. You know, go to gemandknight.com/call. David, let me ask you, is it hard to call in?
No, it's very simple.
It's very simple.
Click, click, click. There's a box. They put your name in, and you click
again.
You're
off to the races.
That's it.
That's right.
Then you sit here and wait for hopefully Jim will pick on you, right?
Yeah, well, the thing is, I haven't turned anybody away yet. I mean, it's going to be quite a while before we get so many people calling that I can't handle anybody. So, you know, I don't know.
Well, that's okay. It's something to work towards, right? Or people just have to wait.
Right. Right,
but you could bring in a couple people, can't you? You talk.
Oh yeah, no, of course, no. I think we can handle 10 people at once actually on screen. Of course, that gets kind of ridiculous, but you know, yeah, I don't know if I do it, but I think if I'm right, with our technology, you can do that.
Now, what software are you using to do this?
You know something, for security reasons, I don't know if I want to say.
Okay. So, okay. Fine.
Yeah, but it's one of the main ones.
Okay. So, got it. Okay.
Yeah, there's several different people and organizations doing this shit, and it's astonishing how good it is. I'm constantly amazed I'm running a green screen here, and not a virtual one, a real one. I actually have a real green screen here.
Okay.
I find it amazing that I can do this. You know.
Well, it was helpful is that the internet speeds are fast. And the computer chips are fast.
Yeah,
and the memory chips are cheap to buy. I used to have the original IBM PC.
Uh huh.
Back in the early '80s, boy, that thing was expensive.
Were you a DOS command line jockey then?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. My wife did that too. She was a DOS expert.
Yeah. It was very expensive to buy these machines.
They were a fortune.
Oh my God.
Most of them didn't even have, did yours even have a hard drive?
No, actually what I did is I bought the bare bones and the bare bones box was, I'm just saying, was roughly like maybe $800 with a box with a keyboard. Then you got to buy the drives.
Yeah.
So I remember I bought 2 floppy drives that were 5 1/4 and they were $450 each.
Holy shit.
Okay.
So I'm guessing what's the year, like 1982, 83?
Yeah, something like that, yes, when they first came out, yes.
Right.
Yes, and then I remember a couple years later, I wanted to buy a hard drive. That's when I was finished school, I was working, so I was making money, whatever. So I bought a 10 megabyte.
Right.
I'll repeat that, 10 megabyte,
right.
Hard drive.
Yeah.
Now, I bought it from this fella that had a little business down in San Jose, which is not far from here. And I remember it was an external box. And it was $1,500
yeah,
for that.
It was.
Yeah.
And you know how I know that? Because in 1988, I bought a computer from Sears for $2,000, and it had a 10-megabyte hard drive in it, which is the reason I bought it. And that wasn't with the monitor. The actual box was $2,000.
Just the box.
1989 money. You know, it'd probably be about you know, what, $6,000 a day, probably?
Yeah,
you know?
it was crazy.
Yeah, it was absolutely super nuts.
Super expensive, very expensive. I mean, these people today, they have no idea how expensive it was.
No, they don't. So I ran, when I was in the late 1980s, I ran a very large website. And we were renting servers, and our server rental was $400 a month. And basically, these servers couldn't keep up. It was bullshit. It was $400 a month in 1990 money. And now, the website for the show, I'm hosting it somewhere for $40 a month on a really, really fast server.
Yes. Well, I think back then the servers that you were talking about, I think the servers were, it was in their infancy.
Yes, that's right. They were.
So they weren't as good as today, or the communication software wasn't so great. Yeah. So that's why before that they would use mostly mini computers. Minis. I mean, not necessarily mainframe, but minis to do that sort of thing.
The other thing is Linux didn't exist then. That was in its infancy too. So
right. Yeah. You know. So that's kind of what it was. It was kind of the servers it started at that time, and you just didn't have the hardware.
Yeah. Things have really evolved incredibly fast and incredibly well.
Oh,
it's really amazing.
I mean, when I started computers, I'll tell you a quick story. So I was taking this class. This is probably maybe 1976.
Uh-huh.
And I was taking this stat class. It was
should point out, David, let's point out to everybody, you're 70 fucking years old.
Yeah, I'll be 70 in November, a couple months.
I was thinking about this after the last time you came on. I should have asked you this, so I'm going to ask you now. Do you dye your hair?
No, I do not. There it is.
Jesus Christ.
No, Jim, you seen your roots?
Yeah, okay. All right. But, you know, David, seriously, you don't look a day over 40. I'm not kidding.
Shit. In fact, I didn't shave today, so I got a little growth here.
Yeah, well, that's good. At least it's still growing.
Yeah, right. You know? Yeah, that's true.
So anyway, I had to bring that up because you're talking about 1976. It's like I graduated from high school in 1974.
I can go earlier, back in the early 60s. I remember I used to go, a couple of my friends used to go to a gas station, whatever, as a kid, and the vending machine cigarettes, 25 cents a pack.
25 cents a pack. And also gas was 25 cents a gallon.
I remember gas was 27 cents, but yes.
Yeah, it was. I remember too.
I remember. Yeah,
okay. Anyway, I interrupted your story. Go ahead.
So anyway, so I was taking this class. It was a senior level class, and I remember the teacher says, gives you a homework assignment. Says, I want you guys to do this one problem on a computer, right? So, whatever. So after the class, I asked the doctor. I said, Doctor, I don't know anything about computers. What can I do? And he tells me, go down to the computer lab. They'll help you. That's all he said.
Uh-huh.
Basically, he's saying, I don't give a shit. Figure it out, kid. Right?
Uh-huh.
So it was batch cards.
Yeah, right.
And I'll never forget that the key punch machine was IBM 029. That was the model. And you got the deck of cards in the hopper, and you had to type, that sort of thing, right?
You have to really explain this to people, because the cards were the actual storage device.
Yes, yes.
The data was stored on cards, and paper cards, not any sort of.
And they had to be in order.
That's right. Otherwise,
if they were not in order, it wouldn't work. Or if it was bent, it won't work.
Yeah, and it's hard, isn't it? It's so stupid. It's unbelievable. It's primitive. You know,
it's crazy. So, so one thing I could say back in the day, it taught you accuracy. So I remember, I remember this one time I ran this program. It was a small deck of cards, maybe yay thick. Not too many, not like a big stack. It's like, say about 60 cards or something.
But people did run big stacks.
Yeah. No, you did start off small, and you had to put rubber band around it. So anyway, so you would type it up and so forth, put it in order. And then you'd put a piece of paper around, if I remember, and put your name on there. And then you took it to the computer area and you put it in like a storage bin. And then what would happen is that somebody in the computer department, they would take it and they would run it. Then the next day you'd get the result. So if a card was out of order or a card was bent or whatever, you come back with this big piece of paper. It says run abort. Son of a bitch, right? And you know, Homer got to turn it in. You can't turn in run abort, right?
No, you can't.
So what it does, it teaches you discipline and accuracy. It teaches you that.
What year did you say this was again?
This was probably 1976 or 75, okay, so, either or.
Now, I got to tell you, and so this for me, this is 1971, 72. In my high school, we had a terminal hooked up to a big mainframe computer in Chicago. And I'm a small town in Minnesota. The terminal, I'm not kidding, is about the size of a Volkswagen. No fucking lie. It's really huge. Wow. Yes. And at the end, there's no display. There's a keyboard, and the output was a ticker tape.
It was yellow, I think.
Yeah, which was basically the next step of evolution from the cards. You know,
yes.
That's the command. I'm surprised that this was after this, but so you got the ticker tape, and you actually fed the you could type into the machine with a keyboard, and you could get the results back on a ticker tape. But at least the ticker tape was, even though it was like the cards that had holes in it, it was continuous. So you know. Yes. You know, it's kind of like a very primitive, like magnetic tape, but it was
I just thought about it. I think because I also about the same year, I was taking this senior class in economics. The class is called econometrics.
Uh-huh.
It's all mathematical and the econ and so forth. And I remember that we used a teletype machine. I remember there was a room down the from the class, and you'd have to call up a program, and then you'd type in some numbers, and it would do it for you. Because since I went to school in Hayward, which is a small town across the bay from San Francisco,
they would
tie into the computer in Sacramento.
Right. So you had the same. That's the same thing I had too. You had a terminal, right?
Yeah, it was just a terminal. It was loud too.
Oh shit! It was loud.
Yeah, that's why they put it in a separate room. It has looked like a closet, like
exactly. This was in a separate room too. And was yours as big as mine?
It was
huge.
No, this was it wasn't so big. I think it was like I'm trying to explain. A typewriter, you know, I don't know about a typewriter, but, you know, like this, but the machine was kind of like on a desk, like.
Uh-huh. Does anybody even know what a typewriter is anymore?
I that's a good question. I claim I'm old, Jim, so I know all those things.
Yeah. And I also have to tell you that this is really amazing. Before today, I've never heard the word econometrics, and today I've heard it twice. You're the second person who brought it up.
Well, econometrics, it's been around for a long time, but it's actually, it looks at economic forecasting.
Uh-huh.
You use very sophisticated models and stuff.
So you studied that in high school?
No, in college. In
college.
In college, yeah. It was interesting because, we did everything by hand for the most part. Yeah. It's very complex. It's very hard stuff.
Have you ever thought about this? We're the most capitalist country in the world, and we do not teach basic economics in high school.
It's pretty sad. It's
crazy. I tried to explain to my friends, I've said, even my mother, I have to tell you, my mother's a big Biden fan. She loves Biden. I said, well, Mom, they basically caused the inflation. And she says, well, no, they, how would they do that? It's the most basic thing that if you overprint money becomes less valuable, and people don't get this concept. They don't.
Well, a lot of things in school they're not teaching. That's the problem we were talking about. The fundamentals they're not really teaching. They're teaching more about it's okay to wear a dress if you're a guy.
Yeah,
that seems to be the focus.
And
I get tired of hearing forever. You always hear that the teachers are underpaid. When we talked about this, the education profession was never well paid. Never.
Well, the other thing is, once again, getting back to where we started, we've come full circle here. When do we, at what point are we, do people say we can't give any more money? I mean, I've told you this, I've said this before. I've been 50 years out of public school here in Minnesota. In that 50 years, the price per student to educate public school students here in the state has gone up, adjusted for inflation, it's gone up 500%. It costs 500 times more now. And like I said, that's adjusted for inflation. It costs five times more now to educate a kid than did to educate me. And yet the test scores have been going down constantly for 30 years.
Yeah. So what does it tell you? More money doesn't mean better education.
That's right. More money doesn't solve the problem. Right. Exactly. They proved it.
It's not the problem. A lot of the problem is that in fact, I was listening to some other person today. They were saying a lot of kids don't go to school.
Yeah.
They didn't even go to school.
Right. That's happened too.
The truancy's exploded.
Yeah.
Exploded.
I've
told you before, in my opinion, all that sort of things, behaviors and so forth, starts at home. And a lot of these kids don't come from a two-parent family, and then you see the result.
And I will proffer this too, David, and I'm insulting our generation by saying this. I'm certainly not insulting you. I think we were really shitty parents too. It's like, as a generation, I think we kind of sucked. It's like the kids of the 60s, which you and I are, we kind of decided, our parents didn't pay any attention to us, so I'm going to pay attention to my kids. So what's happened is either it's way over-parenting or way under-parenting. There's no moderation in between. I think the over-parenting is just as good or bad as the under-parenting, you know?
Yeah, I suppose, yes. But I still think that a lot of these kids they come from a divorced family and that kind of issues with it.
No, there's no doubt about that. I mean,
in fact, who really talks about that a lot is Larry Elder. Have you heard of Larry Elder?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
the black face of white supremacy.
Yeah, he's a white supremacist.
Right? Yeah, that's right. He's crazy. Yeah,
right. He's nuts. He's more of a white supremacist than I am.
Yeah, he is. I know he is. He's terrible.
but he talks a lot about that the nuclear family's not there, and a lot of fatherless homes, and that kind of stuff. And there's another fella I listen to sometimes on a podcast. And have you ever heard of a fella by the name of Brandon Tatum?
No, I've never heard of him.
You've heard of Candace Owens?
Of course, yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Well, she started the movement to Brexit.
Yes, right.
Well, he partnered with her, so he's also part of Brexit.
Uh huh.
He's a black guy, super conservative. He's right on the money.
On a show?
Huh? He has a podcast.
Yeah.
It's called Brandon Tatum. But see, what I really enjoy listening to the black conservative guys and the women too, because they're no nonsense.
Oh, not only that, nothing scares the liberal freakos more than black conservatives. That's the thing I like about it. They're completely disruptive. You know.
Well, yeah. Besides it, but they don't. As I say, they don't take no shit.
Yeah.
Which is fine, right? So I really enjoy all these different folks I listen to occasionally because they're solid. But anyway, as I was saying, Larry talks about that a lot. That a lot of these kids, they don't have a father, and they're causing a lot of problems, and a lot of problems in society, et cetera.
I can't remember where this happened a couple of weeks ago, a few weeks ago. Where was I? At a dinner party or something? And I'm talking to a woman, and she said that one of her kids went off to some camp or something for the summer, and of the eight kids in this group, her child was the only one who had two parents in the house.
Yeah, of course. I mean, in my day as a kid, it was extremely rare to have a single parent. Rare.
Yeah, right. Same here.
It's just rare.
And also, I've come to the conclusion, I can't remember, have I asked, do you have children? Have I asked
No, I do not.
Yeah, I didn't either. I didn't have any either. But I've come to the conclusion, I used to think that, you know, you got to get out of a bad marriage, you know. But if you have children, I'm actually starting to think that maybe, you know, people who say they stay together for their kids, a lot of people kind of poo-poo that. But I think that maybe that's a valid thing, you know. It's like you may not get along with your spouse, but if you have a family, it's like, you know, you keep your family together. I don't know.
You should take the responsibility and do the right thing.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to teach the child, you know, good behaviors, et cetera. That's what you're supposed to do. Parents are teachers too, right?
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, what's interesting, how many times have you gone to a restaurant, Jim, and you see a young family there and you see the kids throwing food on the floor, right?
Oh, yeah. It's coming now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And the parents just sit there and do nothing.
Right.
In my day, if I did anything, whatever, my dad would say, you can't act whatever, you don't come.
I'm also guessing your dad would probably slap you on the side of the head, too.
Well, he'd take care of business.
Yeah, right.
But I had a father. A lot of these kids don't have a father. Yeah. That's the problem.
I have to say, my parents didn't really get along well, and my father's long passed, I mean, 30 years ago. But and my mother will admit that, but they stayed together because that's what you did. You stayed together for your family, you know? And
yes.
I got to admit, I kind of admire both of them for doing that. I mean, they were at, you know, by the time I was born, they were on each other's nerves. I mean, you know, I mean, under normal circumstances, I think they would have gotten divorced, but they had kids. So they stayed together, you know?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And I don't know. I think there's something to that. I used to think when I was younger, I thought that was crazy, but now I don't necessarily.
Yeah. So I think today's society is quite different, and it'd be nice to talk to somebody in the sociology business, because when I remember, sociology is like study of society,
right?
But to find these people, who's going to be honest if you talk to them? Because they're probably a lot of liberals, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's right. Exactly.
That's the problem. I mean, who's going to be honest? Be right. Honest. Take your stupid bullshit politics. Forget it now. And let's call a spade a spade.
Off the top of your head, have you read any books, good books about this?
No.
Okay. I haven't really either. I can't think of anybody offhand. Because I like to... You know, it's really easy to interview authors because they perpetually have something to sell. So, you know, they'll generally go on almost anything. So,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
So now I got Patrick Moore coming on tomorrow night. I don't know if you ever heard of my interview with him.
Well, I heard him on the other show.
Yeah, the other show.
Yeah.
I got more feedback about that interview than probably anyone I've ever done.
Well, so. the guy is, I'll say, an honest scientist. He's not politically motivated.
Right.
The sad part is that a true scientist just deals with the facts. Don't manipulate the facts because of political. And it's sad because you have a lot of that today. And again, I feel that a lot of these guys today, they're professors. They're a product of the school system, which is shit.
Yeah.
Because the bullshit in school has been for 30 years. So these guys are 30 years are a professor now.
Right. That's right. Exactly. That's the right.
Problem. I could just go back to retrospect when I talked to you briefly, but when I was going to school, I mean, the guys in like econ, the professors, I mean, those guys wore bow ties, that kind of stuff. Right? Wearing suits.
But, right.
But these guys were strictly business. I mean, they're teaching the course. They're not teaching other stupid shit.
Right.
Or the mathematical stuff I took. So it's different. It's just sad.
I've never interviewed this guy, and I don't want to mention his name because I don't want to drag him into this, but there's another professor of climatology that I've talked to who also says it's complete bullshit. But he told me, he said the reason people in my profession lie about this all the time is because the only way you can get money. He says it's so embedded in the system now that the only way you can get any funding to do anything is if you go along with the company line and the propaganda that it's real.
Yeah. Well, one of the big institutions for research money is NIH,
uh-huh.
National Institute of Health. That's where Fauci worked and all that.
Right.
They're all liberals. So when you're doing when you're sending in your research papers, you got to slant it liberal. Otherwise, they're not even going to look at it.
So he was the head of what was it? The National
one of the branches, but he worked under the umbrella of NIH.
of infectious diseases. I can't remember. But,
NIH, National Institute of Health.
He was the head of it for 37 years.
Yeah, where's that?
Not worked there. He was the head of it. He had the same job for 37 fucking years.
Yeah, well, God bless him. God bless him.
I know, but that's the government. I mean, shit, you know.
It's the government thing. So you think about it. You get a guy like that that looks at a research proposal, he'll read or whatever, and it does. It's not what he likes. They're not slanted liberal. He'll can it. That's what the problem. So these guys doing research, they got to put in some bullshit. So the reader will, okay, fine. That's what they're doing. So right. it's technically, I would call it bullshit science.
Totally. And so Tim Conaway, my friend who's running for president,
he was on the show.
But he's not the only person who's actually said this, but I heard it first from him. He said, we don't need just term limits for politicians. We need term limits for bureaucrats.
Yeah,
these people should not have these jobs for forever.
Yeah, you know, they shouldn't. Exactly. At a certain grade, because I used to work for the federal government. So at a certain grade levels, you're right. Mm-hmm. They should be whatever, and then you're out. Because the problem is that the mentality is that I can't get fired, and I'm going to do what I'm going to do.
Right. That's what happens. There's no ramifications for doing anything wrong.
There's no results. Right. And I also worked in private, and you know, the private. The big difference is the private has to earn the money. The government, they don't earn it because they're giving it from the taxpayer.
Yeah.
With a different mindset.
Well, and the government's awash in money. Now, the one thing I'm going to bring this up, you stay here. I was going to end my show with this anyway, about the fact that, you know, there's right now you're talking about the UFO thing. And the thing that fascinates, I'm not just fascinated with the actual UFOs itself. The other thing that fascinates me is how that plays into the federal government, because the government finally admitted after 40 years of denying this that they study these things. Yeah. So now the thing is, well, where have they gotten the funding to do it? And the thing is, and these people, they have their fingers, they're so buried in the black budgets.
Black budget,
Yeah. So the thing is, the money's been almost endless, and it's like, okay, well, you know, we're still paying for that, you know?
Well, that's the whole definition of a black budget. Unknown.
Exactly. That's right. It's crazy.
It's not on the books, right?
So the Arrow, the anomalous aerial reconnaissance office, ARO, they have a new website at aaro.mil, military, not military, where they're going to post everything that they learn about UFOs. And then the people in the UFO community, and I'm wondering the same thing, is like, well, why after 40 years, 50 years of hiding this, why is it suddenly is it so transparent? You know, why? They're talking about, in the press release, they actually used the word transparency. Well, fuck, you haven't been transparent ever. Why?
It's all bullshit. I went to that website a few days ago, and you look at the documents or something, it says coming soon or something like that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, most of it isn't there yet. That's right.
I mean, come on, they got it on computers. You can do it, click, and there it is. Right?
That's right. That's right. I'm wondering this, and not only that, why are they advertising transparency? Why the about face, like, all of a sudden? You know?
Well, you know the term. It's just window dressing, Jim.
I'm suspicious.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's window dressing. It looks good, but what's going to happen, right?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Here's the deal. It isn't going to happen, or it is going to happen, and then the question is, if it does happen, why? Why 50 years of bullshit, and then all of a sudden you're posting this crap?
Let's see if they post it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, let's. But that's my fascination with the whole thing is as much that the interface of the government dealing with it as the actual phenomenon itself. Because, I mean, you go back for, you know, people have asked me, David, like, how did you know about this? But the thing is, there's been a paper trail through the government on this for 50 fucking years. And all you have to do is, like, if you read John Greenwald or any of these guys who access anything from the Freedom of Information Act, it's plainly obvious. And then the next question is, well, how come the press doesn't report on it? And my answer to that is, that's a damn good question. I have no fucking idea.
Good question, yeah.
I'm some stupid guy sitting in my underwear in Minneapolis, and I know this, and no one else is talking about it. I find this amazing. You know, it's crazy.
Well, but you got to have a press to do that. You don't have a press.
That's correct. That's right.
It's funny because you'll see on shows that they'll say the same wording, all these different shows, the same words, you know. See, so they're reading this. They must get a memo every morning, right? Here's the talking points of the day.
Well, realistically, David, I think there's some secret website somewhere where all these liberal journalists congregate. That's some forum or something. I think
Jim, that's called a private server, right? You could have your server in your house.
Yeah,
and you could give certain people access to it, secure.
Right,
and that's it. I can't get access to it.
Thank you for understanding this, because I've told people, you know, my friends, like, this theory, and they say, well, that's bullshit. You can never do that. And you know, it's simple, actually.
It's very simple. You tell your friends, this woman by the name of Hillary Rodham Clinton had a private server, right?
Yes.
Here's the question. How in the hell, if she has a private server and she has federal documents in her possession on a private server and she gets away with it?
Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. I think actually the biggest single crime in the last freaking 50 years is this Russian collusion thing she started. It's like, she started this, and it basically almost brought down the whole fucking federal government, and she didn't seem to care.
See, like, I take it as an insult to, because when I was a federal employee, all the documents, everything, pencils, everything is government property.
Yeah,
government, right?
Right.
And you take it off site, you're stealing government property, and there's a price to pay.
That's correct.
Right? Oh, I've been there. I've seen all that.
And she didn't pay it.
She didn't pay it, but she had a secret document, toxic, confidential, all that. It's even worse, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Technically, if I took this government pencil home, and they came to my house and say that's a government pencil, I can get in trouble for that.
Yeah, you technically you stole something, right?
It's not technically you stole something. You stole government property.
No, you're right. It's not technical. You stole something, right?
I also worked at this company down in Santa Clara, which is not far from where I am, called Applied Materials, down in Silicon Valley.
Uh-huh.
You know, I remember when you worked there, you had to sign papers and everything. Everything is their property. If you write a memo, it's their property. If you do a little spreadsheet, it's their property, et cetera. And if you take it without authorization, they fire you. And they, in fact, this one fella, it was interesting. They had a little gym out there, and this one guy was doing whatever, and he had a laptop there, which was their property, because they would give people laptops to take home and so forth, right? So some guy was in there. Well, anyway, he stole that laptop, right? Well, they caught the guy, his cameras. And he got fired, and they prosecuted the guy. Lousy computer, $5,000.
Right.
It's not that's the business world, right?
So Hillary has a server. She owns it, and if I'm right, it's literally in a broom closet in her house.
Yeah. Well,
right?
That part didn't bother me so much.
No, because here's the part. Here's the part you're talking about. She owns the server, but all the data on it belongs to the federal government.
But she had stuff that was confidential and secret and all that shit.
Yeah.
What the hell's that about?
That's the problem. No, the problem isn't that she owns a server. That is not the problem. The problem
What's on the server.
It's what's on the server. That's right. That's what the problem is, you know? But I tried, like I said, I tried to explain this to my friends, and everyone says, oh, no, people can't do that. Oh, shit.
Next time you talk to your friends, mention the name Hillary Rodham Clinton. Have you ever heard of her?
They're two in the tank. They would take offense. So,
I feel sorry for them.
Yeah, so do I. I do. I do too. And they're my friends.
Well, they're brainwashed.
David, I'm going to wrap this up.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Jim. Talking. Yes.
I really want to thank you for calling in. I would have been wonderful if other people would have joined us, but people are reticent to do this because I think, you know, first of all, some people don't want their faces on the screen. And
that's okay. You know, I can see in the screen here, I got numbers under. Is that my arrest numbers? There's numbers here. It says 408, right?
No, that's the number you called in to send me a text.
Yeah, I know that because the way I'm positioned, it looks like my mugshot with the numbers, right?
Of course, that's where the numbers would go. That's right.
let me center it better. How's that?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You're doing a good job.
Anyway, it's my pleasure, Jim, and we'll talk soon again.
Thank you. We will. We will. Thanks.
My pleasure. David.
I'm going to let you go, okay?
Yes, sir. Okay.
Okay. Take care.
Yes, sir.
That's David from San Francisco. Longtime caller, longtime friend. Good guy. And you didn't call in. You know, he called in. You could have called in. You could have done that. You know, so, but you didn't. And did you hear him? I mean, you know, we were on there for quite a while, but he did say it's easy as pie. You know, you should try it. You know, we should get this. So tomorrow, I think Dr. Patrick Moore is going to be here. Like I said, we have confirmed this, but I've been getting messages him back and forth this afternoon. I'm not sure. There's a possibility he won't be able to make it. Of course, this happens. You know, it happened with Chris Williamson that went out last night. He was going to be on the week before, and he at the very last minute, he's going to make it. So we'll find out. But right now, I'm saying that Dr. Moore is going to be here. And if not, we'll take your calls again, and I will yak some more. So I want to thank you folks for listening. I'm trying to come up with a tricky little catchy thing to say at the end of these shows. This is what I've come up with. Good night. Good night, Uncle Donnie, wherever you are. I'll see you folks tomorrow. Thanks for watching.